Welcome to I'm Not Supposed to Be Here, the podcast. In this episode, we'll be discussing Chapter 4.
Picking up right where Eddie's story left off last time, huh? I'm eager to delve into this chapter's events. The emotional fallout from the band's disbandment and his father's departure seems significant.
Indeed. The chapter opens with Eddie processing the end of Fuga, his band. It's not just the music, but the friendships, the shared experiences, all seemingly crumbled into nothingness. A poignant reflection on the ephemeral nature of creative collaborations, wouldn't you say, Lily?
Absolutely. The description paints a vivid picture of the loss, the shattered sense of camaraderie. It highlights the emotional investment in a creative endeavor, which extends far beyond the artistic output. It begs the question, how do you move forward from such a significant loss, especially when it feels like a piece of your identity has been lost?
A very important question. And then, the unexpected, his father's sudden departure. He walks into Eddie's bedroom, declares he's had enough, and abruptly leaves for Spain. The scene is described with stark simplicity, yet the underlying tension is palpable. The silence of the car ride, the father disappearing into the airport's crowd, it's loaded with unspoken emotions.
Yes. The description of the father's departure as a tornado, leaving behind broken people surrounded by absolute emotional and psychological devastation, is chilling. It indicates the profound impact of his actions on his family, his children, leaving behind a void far deeper than his physical absence.
This isn't just a father leaving his family. It's the culmination of years of constant fighting and dysfunction, leaving the children emotionally numb. The repeated threats over the years, the mother's resigned acceptance, the children's emotional detachment. It's a devastating portrait of a dysfunctional family.
It raises the question of responsibility. Was the father solely responsible for the family's disintegration, or was it a collective failure? What role did each member play in contributing to this destructive cycle? We should also consider the societal pressures, financial difficulties, or other factors that might have exacerbated the situation. Perhaps some systemic issues at play?
It is certainly a complex issue with multiple layers. The mother's characterization as having almost become defiant and daring to his repeated threats, expecting and almost welcoming the escape, is particularly interesting. It shows a deep weariness and a longing for change, no matter how painful it may be. It suggests that the father's departure, while shocking, might also offer a path to healing, to start anew.
Precisely. However, the chapter immediately shifts to Eddie's resolve to forge ahead. The reference to the Titanic musicians playing as the ship sinks is powerful, framing his determination in the context of facing immense adversity.
A powerful metaphor, and it immediately sets the tone for his actions. He starts auditions for his new band, Toque de Queda, which I find very evocative, and he chooses members carefully, looking for shared passion and musical sensibilities. This is about more than just forming a band. It's about rebuilding.
The process is painstakingly slow and lengthy, taking months. He brings in Elvis, who understands his style and demands, and carefully selects other band members with extensive experience and high levels of ability, Jalen James and Ariel, who complements his musical vision. It's a meticulous approach, suggesting a deep commitment to his project.
Absolutely. They even move into a three-bedroom apartment together to enhance collaboration, highlighting a strategic approach far beyond the usual band dynamics. This signifies a strong sense of unity, commitment, and shared destiny. And they find a producer, Roy Tavere, whose experience is extensive.
The recording process is an immersive experience, a testament to their collective dedication. The studio becomes more than a workspace. It becomes their sanctuary, a place of artistic creation, of collaboration, and shared growth. They attract high-caliber musicians and performers. Juanes and Santana guitarist Fernando Toby Tobon, along with Juan Luis Guerra's longtime backup vocalist Marco Hernandez, it's a remarkable coming together of talent.
The level of collaboration is impressive. Each member contributes their unique expertise to the process. There's a clear creative vision and artistic synergy driving their work. a truly collaborative, creative endeavor.
Their showcase with EMI Latin goes well, and they're optimistic about securing a record deal. The energy and excitement are palpable in Eddie's narrative, as if he can feel making it at the event. This is his chance to transform not only his life, but also his family's future, finally escaping the shadow of his parents' troubled past.
The scene is filled with hope, excitement, and anticipation. The description of the showcase is powerful. The transformation of the office into a stage. The audience's response, it's a moment of triumph, of potential, of change.
But then the waiting game begins. The excruciating 3-month wait for a response from EMI is vividly portrayed. The time seems to stretch, each moment feeling like an eternity. This intensifies the tension and underscores the precariousness of the situation. And that desperate call to the producer, Roy, adding to the anxious anticipation.
And then the devastating news. EMI rejects them, citing the producer's excessive financial demands as a reason. This is a cruel blow, highlighting the realities of the music industry. Their dreams of financial security and escape from their troubled family dynamics are once again dashed. The disappointment is palpable. This is just gut-wrenching.
The fallout is significant. Eddie's emotional response is raw and honest. He grapples with feelings of shame, disappointment, and a crushing sense of failure. He questions his choices, his capabilities, even considering abandoning his musical aspirations altogether.
The weight of his family's expectations and their hopes weighs heavily on him. The description of his internal struggle, the internal tug of war, is particularly affecting. It's a testament to the profound impact his pursuit of music has on his relationships, as well as to the emotional toll of constantly striving to meet expectations. It's poignant, and many people can relate to this experience.
But amidst the despair, a spark of determination rekindles. He refuses to give up. It's not just about the music anymore. It's about proving himself, defying the odds. The renewed energy is infectious.
He launches a promotional campaign focusing on local Miami nightclubs, offering partygoers free professional photos and directing them to the band's website. This brilliant strategy drives significant traffic to his website. The strategy is ingenious, using people's self-centeredness as a tool to achieve a bigger goal.
His persistence pays off. Their music starts gaining traction. They secure interviews, radio appearances, and television spots. The narrative shifts dramatically, the relentless promotion turning into national attention and success, the positive publicity leading to high-profile engagements. This strategy turns into a snowball effect, attracting attention, generating publicity, and leading to a flood of promotional offers. It's a masterclass in creative promotion, turning a potential weakness into a strength. Then comes the unexpected success, a call from Perfect Image Records. A small independent record label, but they have a huge artist and global distribution with Universal Music. This is a significant turning point.
A. Their album is released worldwide. They appear on major media outlets and their song climbs up the Billboard charts. The band is a global sensation. Their dreams have come true. But sadly, that dream comes to an abrupt end when Perfect Image Records CEO is indicted and flees to the Dominican Republic, leaving Toki Decada without a label, without promotion, without a future. Their success was fleeting.
Everything seems to fall apart yet again. The music industry is fickle indeed.
The sudden reversal of fortune is both shocking and heartbreaking. This throws the reader into complete despair, uncertainty, and disappointment.
Yet, the ending isn't entirely bleak. While acknowledging the devastating setback, Eddie emphasizes the importance of the journey, the experiences, and the memories forged during the band's journey. He doesn't see this as a complete failure, but rather a significant chapter in his life's story. He has experienced the highs and lows of the music industry, a bittersweet conclusion, which leaves the listener with a profound sense of anticipation and uncertainty for what comes next.
Indeed. It ends with a poignant reflection on the beauty of his most beautiful failure, and a quiet acceptance of the uncertainty of the future. But it also leaves many unanswered questions. What will Eddie do next? Will he continue to pursue his musical aspirations? How will he cope with the loss of Toki Decada? How will he help his family?
Will he give up on his musical aspirations, or will his resilience prevail again? And even more so, can this family ever recover from such devastation? Will his father return from Spain? The cliffhanger leaves listeners craving for more.
Exactly. So join us next time as we continue this compelling story. Don't forget to follow, share, and subscribe. And be sure to check out the award-winning docuseries on Tubi, the audiobook, and the soundtrack for the motion picture I'm Not Supposed to Be Here. And most importantly, join us next time to discover whether Eddie's dream will finally become a reality.